T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Top of the hour on The Score, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. I'm very much looking forward to having Warren Sapp on the show.
Love that.
Why? Why do you love that so much?
No, it's the DuckDuckGo thing. It's going to be a bit from here on out. I'm sorry.
What's the bit?
During transition, when Lawrence broke in with the DuckDuckGo, you responded, love that.
Oh, yeah.
So just be ready now. It's not going to be as much of a funny bit anymore because I just had to explain it to you.
I didn't remember that happened. That transition was kind of a blur. I really enjoyed the conversation, but yeah, he said it, and I was just like, oh, yeah, gotta slide that in, and there was no way to do it naturally as I just threw my pen out of my hands as I was talking with my
love
hands.
Love that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I had a small run-in with Warren Sapp one time that I will bring up to him delicately if the conversation is going well, that we'll see. I'll let you all in on that together after the fact. But I had Warren Sapp's jersey as a kid. I loved him. The guy would skip through the opponent's warm-ups. I love Deion Sanders. That was my favorite player. And the trash talk defensive player, but you saw it at nose tackle as a big guy who, it did not matter who he was playing or what he was doing. It was just absolutely ridiculous. I was going back over when I found out we were having him on. 96 and a half sacks in his career for Warren Sapp. Absolutely ridiculous. And I'm excited about it. But one time he told me to keep it moving after a Super Bowl party when I told him and Gary Sheffield I had had way too many cocktails, that the cigar that he was smoking smelled really good. And he said, and I asked if I could have one, and he said no, in not the nicest way. But I approached Warren Sapp and Gary Sheffield and a couple of other people drunkenly, and he could have snapped me in half. So I'm glad that it was just a verbal, keep it moving, kid. You're not going to start smoking cigars with me and Gary Sheffield.
Right. Love that.
I don't love you. Is he
fine? So the PR guy is having a hard time merging the call right now. So he's tried two different times. So okay. Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony. But no, it was a funny story. I was leaving Odell Beckham and Joe Hayden, name drop, their Super Bowl party that we got into on complete dumb luck. And so I was feeling myself, and I was like, oh, my God, we just spent – and it was Joe Hayden's guy who we got in with, and I knew one of Odell Beckham's teammates on the Giants, Jeff Schwartz. And so it was like a suits and sneakers party down in Arizona at the W Hotel. And so me and my old co-host and producer in Kansas City were having a great time, and we kind of getting the VIP treatment. And like I said, I had been completely overserved. And we were leaving the party, and they were outside smoking cigars, and I told them that it smelled great and that I wanted one, and he said no. And I said, come on, Warren. And he said, this cigar costs more than your life. I was like, oh, okay. And I kept it moving. But my buddies thought that I was going to get hit by Gary Sheffield. And I don't think that was going to happen. And his friends were all bigger, stronger, more famous, better looking, richer than us. And so that was my Warren Sapp story from the Super Bowl. I'm sure he remembers. I'm sure he remembers. But on Instagram today, he posted a story, or a picture rather, of him and someone you maybe have heard of, a guy by the name of Michael Jordan. So he seems to be a big fisher and golfer, and we'll talk to Fisher. You're a big fisherman.
Fisherman.
I thought about that.
You're more
in the moment.
Of a fisherman.
We're going to let it slide. Don't worry.
You're more of a fisherman than you are a spider or a snake.
I mean, you are a fisherman. It's not more of a fisherman than Fisher. It is fisherman.
But why doesn't Fisher work?
It should. The English language is just stupid.
Okay, but it should work.
It should work, yeah, but it doesn't.
I just created a new word.
It became personal with me.
Bernstein is a fisher. Mac is a fisher.
He's a lot of things.
he is a lot of things.
Mac is an angler of toothy critters.
Yes, exactly.
He just want it right. He'd want the info right out. There's a lot of bad
that's
info.
That's true. Yeah, a lot of bad info about the difference between Fisher and fishermen. But regardless, it was a cool picture. And I'm looking forward to talking to him about it. Because you think about the newer type of situation that is the three technique and Warren Sapp, one of the best to ever do it. That guy, by the way, 12th pick in the draft after finishing 6th in the Heisman Trophy out of not a small program, out of the U, and he fell for some complete BS in the draft because of a rumor about him smoking pot.
Yeah, I remember it when it happened back in the day, but I went back and revisited that draft just to pull some clips from this open, which I'm sure you'll hear very soon. but, you know, it was basically a PR campaign for Warren Sapp and Drew Rosenhaus there, like, you know, to get this man picked, because I have never seen anything like that in an NFL draft where they're weaving in between every pick and it's Warren Sapp and Drew Rosenhaus.
Warren Sapp in college was a cheat code. A defensive lineman finishing 6th for the Heisman Trophy is basically unheard of. It's a quarterback award. You know, it's a running back award more so back then. You know, Charles Woodson would break through, but obviously, you know, you had the kick return element to his game. 6th for a defensive tackle is insane. Everyone knew that that was a top 5 pick and that guy was a stud. And it was just a fabrication about some sort of drug test somewhere that had happened on something, but no one was ever able to prove it. That's why I say, draft the weed guy. That market inefficiency, by the way, closing. More people are picking up on it. But like, even just a couple of years ago with Laramie Tunsil, draft the weed guy.
Wasn't DK Metcalf also a weed guy?
I believe he was also. Yeah, it's if that's the reason, like, you could do an all-weed guy team. Like, Dan Marino's your quarterback. Warren Sapp anchors your D-line. It's pretty remarkable what you'd be able to do if you just, oh, this guy should be picked here, but not here because he failed a marijuana test. Absolutely. And it's going to close event because the NFL will soon have it off of its banned substance list, and those suspensions will be a thing of the past. But regardless, could use Warren Sapp on this defense. And also want to talk to him about Dave Wannstedt and the U at some point. They didn't overlap, but these guys are always at their U alumni events and the whole thing. So I'd like to think that maybe there's some crossover there. So now you know what we are going to talk about with Warren Sapp as we were having some technological problems. But now we got him on the line. One of the greatest to ever do it. A Hall of Famer, 96.5 sacks on the all-decade team in the 90s and the 2000s. I had his jersey as a kid, Warren Sapp.
With the 12th pick of the first round, Tampa Bay selects defensive tackle, University of Miami, Warren Sapp.
Pressure on Favre. Down he goes. First sack, Warren Sapp.
Favre under pressure, Warren Sapp from the backside. Look at the respect that Favre and Warren Sapp have for each other.
This is like conquering the world. It's more than rap. It's a sport which makes me like Warren.
There's 5 other University of Miami brethren in this Hall of Fame. I want to say thank you, and I join you, and I love what we have, the bond. It's a chain thing. You wouldn't understand.
Pass by Gannon is tipped. Quarles came out. That's Warren Sapp tipping it. Gannon under pressure. Look out from behind. Sapp. Ball loose. Raiders recover at the 31-yard line, but a huge play. Warren Sapp now comes in offensively.
Gruden was saying, you know, this isn't a gimmick thing when we put Sapp in there. He said he's as good a blocking tight end as there is in football. Watching him practice the other day, they do have a pass to him.
Second and goal. Instead, it's Allstott into the end zone for the game's first touchdown. Third and 18, and this is going to write a finish. Derek Brooks, who cement the Super Bowl.
Ghetto Fab, I'm more than rap from my Bucks. Keep 2 9s on me like Warren Sapp from the Bucks.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, on behalf of NapJitsu, napjitsu.com. We'll talk about more of that in just a minute. Warren Sapp on the Score. Warren, thank you so much for the time, man. How you doing today?
Brother, that is the best intro I've ever had.
I
gotta give it to you.
Hey,
good job.
Thank you. That's our guy, Chris Tannehill. If we have Hall of Famers on, you know, we go big.
Hey, I brother, I tell you, I've been doing this for like 8-9 years now since I've been a Hall of Famer. And you're number one on my list right now. Ooh, that was a good one. I like that one.
Okay, I like that. Seems like you're having a pretty good day. I saw your Instagram. You golf with Michael Jordan this morning?
Yeah, I went up and checked the fellas up there at Grove 23. I had to go see the fellas. You know, it's just it's a collection of good men and having a good time. Gary Sheffield was up there, so we went and hit a ball around a little bit.
Unbelievable. So Grove 23, I love golf. I've read about it. Is it as incredible? This is for anyone who doesn't. Michael Jordan built and created this golf course. Unbelievably exclusive. How nice is it?
One of the best I've been at.
Oh, man.
One of the best I've been at. And it's playable. It isn't one of those courses you go to and you're like, oh, my God. Like Pebble? Like you go to Pebble, you're like, Jesus, I see why the pros are the pros. Because your ball just won't stay where you hit it. But here, you can play the course, a nice little round, and the golf carts go about 25 miles an hour. So we finished in about 2 hours and 15 minutes. So it was real good.
Oh, that's nice. So, you know, you gambling with Mike out there? What's it like?
No, I'm not gambling. I gamble in the trenches. I don't gamble. I just come for the camaraderie and the S-talking.
So can you give us an S-talking story on the golf course with MJ?
Nah, he really don't talk much. He really doesn't. He really, really doesn't. And I'm not good enough to talk much trash, so. You only all got to drive him a couple times, hit one closer than him. You know, he does this every day. You know, I'd rather fish and dive than I'd rather play golf, but I wanted to play golf today.
Yeah, well, he's a big fisherman too, right? So you can outfish him, but you can't outgolf him.
Oh, all day. I'll bet him any day of the week and twice on Sunday if we're fishing.
So, I mean, but you guys have done that together as well, right?
Well, I've done it against each other in the White Marlin Open in the Mid-Atlantic, but neither one of us hit the scale, so neither one of us won the bet.
Okay, so I was looking through your Instagram. You are really into it. Like, what got you? What got you? I mean, for anyone who doesn't follow Warren Sapp on Instagram, first of all, you're doing it wrong. But his hashtag is either Sapp Fishing, when it's a picture of
Sapp not fishing,
or Sapp not fishing, which makes it
that simple. That simple, baby. Either I'm on the water going at it, or I'm doing something watching the babies. My little girl plays soccer at the University of North Florida. She was goalkeeper of the year. My son plays at FAU. So I have a couple other, you know, engagements that I have to, you know, show up. And my Canes are playing and the Bucks are playing. So, you know, I got to – and I got to go see my Raiders too. So, you know, I got to mix and match, but I'll make it all work.
No, I know, but it's very helpful. Like if I'm seeing a picture on your Instagram and it's of soccer or golf or football, I'm like, is that
I'm pretty self-explanatory. I'm really not one of those guys who going to have you thinking much.
Yeah, I'm like is Sapp fishing? Oh, no, it says Sapp not fishing.
Not fishing. Yes, that's simple. And then Scuba Sapp shows up and Sapp Cousteau shows up a little bit too. So, you know.
that makes all the sense in the world. So what's your biggest catch? What's your best fishing story?
Up in PEI, which is Prince Edward Island, it's the tuna capital of the world, North Lake. We caught 1,500 pounds of tuna in 2 hours and never left the shore where you could see the coastline. It was unbelievable. Caught a 924-pound bluefin tuna.
A 924-pound tuna? Now,
you never saw that one on my Instagram when I was hanging on the side of it?
I think I missed it, man. I'm sorry.
All right. I'm going to have to send you a text message to this number if it works.
Okay. Yeah, this is the call-in studio number. I'd be happy to provide Warren Sapp with my cell phone number. If we could become texting buddies, you could invite me out to the Grove next time. It'd be great. Is that?
No. Nope. We would invite you out to the Grove or one of the fishing excursions because it's always fun.
I would love to. That would be amazing. What is it about fishing? Like you were so competitive, so great on the football field, but you seem to have found this like great hobby, and it's more than a hobby for you.
I got to tell you this. Nothing sounds better than the reel going off than a quarterback going oof. And I can't make a quarterback go oof anymore.
Okay, so this is how you've replaced the competitiveness.
Oh, this is it. Because you never know what's on the line. You never know what's on the line. And you got to be as gentle and as rough as you want with it. You know, make sure you get him to the boat. And then you can lose him right there at the boat. Trust me, it's like hunting the quarterback. Trust me.
Man, were you worried about finding something in post football life to like replace that competitiveness? Was it hard for you?
Absolutely. We all think that. We all think that there's nothing that can replace a Sunday afternoon. There's nothing that can replace chasing the quarterback. There's nothing that can replace the camaraderie of the team on the road. Nothing will ever replace the camaraderie of the team when you're on a road trip. But fishing and scuba diving is damn close.
So I find it hard to believe. It's amazing that you've done that. I find it you sound competitive when you're talking about it and very passionate. I have a hard time imagining Warren Sapp, the dude who would skip through the warm-ups of the other teams and all that. It'd be always a great quote.
See, but you say that as if that was something different. That was just my way to work.
How do you mean?
That was just the route that I went to work. From one corner to the other corner of the end zone, I learned the fastest distance between any 2 points is a straight line.
So it was just happened. You weren't going to go around the team warming up.
I didn't kick anybody or bump into anybody. I was just going straight to work.
That's okay. That's true. So it was.
I asked Tony Dungy the other day because, you know, Tom Moore said something to me when I was on the field with the Bucks, you know, opening day Thursday night with the Cowboys. He was like, what about you running through our stretch? I'm like, really? I can't live that down yet? So I go over and see Tony Dungy, and I ask Tony about it. Tony's like, I told him you was coming. I'm like, you was with me for six of those years when I did that. He's like, I know. I told him you was coming. I'm like, well, they were warned.
I loved it. To me, sports needs more.
You didn't sound like you love it. You was like a guy who used to skip through people's stretch. I'm like, really? Only because it was Tony Dungy and Peyton Manning on Monday Night Football? It didn't give a damn who it was. It could have been the San Diego Chargers, L.A. Chargers, L.A. Raiders, Oakland Raiders. I didn't care who it was. I was going that way. I was going straight.
Warren, you misunderstood my intention.
Nobody was going to stop me.
I had your jersey as a kid.
Thank you. I heard that.
Deion Sanders, you guys were my favorite defensive players.
I'll let my people put it in a package. I'll sign that for you and send it back. Oh, I got to.
I'm getting all the hookups. Thank you very much. Well, you know, there was a time, Warren, where I did ask you for something and you turned me down. You will not remember
that. That happens. This is the first time you ever been told no?
No, yeah, probably the second or third.
Well, it's okay. It happens more than that. You know what I got told every day before I got in the car with my mama? You don't want nothing, you don't get nothing, you don't look at nothing, you don't say nothing. And I get in the car. And I'm thinking, why am I even going?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what it was. I saw you and the aforementioned Gary Sheffield outside of a Super Bowl party, and I had been way overserved, and you guys were smoking.
Oh, so you're going to blame yourself for this,
oh,
not me.
It's 100% my fault. 100%.
All right, then. Look, at least we got that out. Thank you, brother. You are really the best. I like you. Intro, the jersey. Oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with you, Daddy. I really don't.
We'll have you on again. But I asked, you guys were smoking cigars that smelled so good, and I was so drunk. I was like, oh, my God. I used to pretend to be Gary Sheffield in the batter's box with the stands. Warren Sapp, I had his jersey. I'm at this Super Bowl. We were at the same party. I was like, maybe Warren Sapp will, you know, give me a cigar, and we could just all be friends and smoke cigars. And you basically said, get the hell out of here. This cigar's worth more than your life. Some variation of that. And I kept it moving because I didn't want to be snapped in half.
I like the story. At least it ain't that bad.
No, it could have been much worse.
The cigar was not worth that. It was probably one of Gary Sheffield's 509 career home run cigars that he carries. That's a nice smoke. It's almost like a Patron. 64.
Yeah, it smelled delicious. One day, I hope.
The Rocket Patel does a good job for him.
I hope to one day be in that that stratosphere. Tell me about Napchat.
We'll get there. You get the jersey, we'll get there. Come to Chicago, we'll get there.
Let's do it, man. Tell me about Napjitsu and how you got involved.
Listen, Napjitsu is something I needed back when I was playing the game because you know how tough it is some nights to get to sleep?
Of course.
Napjitsu puts you in a sleep mode that is unbelievable. And when you wake up in the morning, it's almost like you done had two of those energy drinks and you on your way. You got a pep in your step and you ready to go. It puts you in a relaxed state. You fall asleep. The energy kicks in. You wake up and you're ready to go, my man. I wish I had this when I was playing. And I'm not a pill or a supplement guy at all. But when you get around 50, you need a little something to help you out. And Napjitsu is my thing.
Napjitsu.com. It sounds amazing. Hey, Ward, next time you're
going to try it, brother. You got to try it. You want to try a cigar, you got to try this Napjitsu. I'm telling you, brother. It'll put you to sleep and wake you up with a pep in your step, and you won't need that morning coffee.
All right, man. I'm on it. Napjitsu.com. Next time you're in Chicago, drinks and cigars on me, man. Thank you very much for your time. This
it won't
great.
Be long, brother, because I'm going to come before it get cold.
Yeah, okay. Let us know, man. We'd love to have you back on the show as well. Thank you.
I sure will, baby.
All right. That's Warren Sapp. Man. That was highly enjoyable. Napjitsu.com. Support what Warren Sapp supports because, I mean, what it Did he say I'm going to get invited fishing and to the Grove and a jersey and cigars? What do you think? Are we coming through on 0 for 4?
Yeah,
there?
Man, he's a people pleaser, all right? Warren's a people pleaser.
I feel like he was just saying yes, 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 but I wasn't even asking for stuff. I was just wanting him to tell stories, but then I'm getting invited to all these places. This is what's going to happen, too. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to be like, man, that I'm glad you like the Open and the time. Like, it's true. I did have your jersey as a kid. And he's going to be like, man, I am not messing with you. I'm Warren Sapp. I hang out with Michael Jordan and Gary Sheffield. What a life, by the way.
Yeah.
What a life.
You didn't see that picture of him hanging off the side of the boat with the 924-pound tuna?
I guess I missed it.
Bears, Bucks. Oh, they're at the Bucks, though. Show trip.
Let's go fishing with Warren
Hey,
Sapp.
Warren, here we are. Warren, remember that Warren time Pan. You said?
You yeah. offered. Hey, Wani won't let us down to his house in Naples, but can we stay with you?
God, that would be incredible. Sounded genuine?
No, we can't. That's October 24th. That's 2 days before the 16-year anniversary of the White Sox winning the World Series. I'd celebrate privately.
Mm. That picture of him hanging on that tuna is outrageous. It makes Warren Sapp look he's my size, but the tuna is nearly 1,000 pounds. So I guess anything would look small next to that. See, I'm not a fisher or a fisherman. Do you think it was genuine?
Do you think Warren Sapp wants to actually hang out with you at Grove 23 and give you cigars and sign your Warren Sapp jersey? Do I think that was genuine?
Wait, Danny had a Warren Sapp jersey?
Help me craft the text.
Yeah, as a kid.
All right, let's craft the text. I will send him a text right now during this commercial break.
I don't think we abuse Warren Sapp's number 10 minutes after we have him on the air. I think that's one of those things you kind of store away for a little while.
But he won't remember.
Danny, I should not have even given him his
number.
No,
he won't remember. If we do it days
Bad.
From late, he won't remember.
Bad
idiot move.
Oh, I disagree. I think now is the immediate time. Right now. As soon as we hit the break. All right. We'll do this.
That's on you, but you didn't get it from me. I don't want to piss off Warren Sapp. All right.
Yeah, are you going to be in Florida tomorrow?
No.
Then he's never going to remember.
Establish the contact then keep it moving.
Well, Tanny, he knows. Remember his years of being a producer?
I know. I know how to work a contact.
Oh, here's Coach.
With Hall of Fame. We're going to talk to Coach in about...
We should ask Coach here before we make any moves here with this Warren Sapp phone number, what the professional football guy protocol is here for this.
Whatever he says is fine, but I'm going to text Warren Sapp during the commercial break. And I bet I get a response. Yeah. You guys want to bet?
I don't know, man. But what did I tell you in the pre-show meeting? Why don't you just back here? You talk to Warren? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I know Warren.
Oh, you know Warren? Yeah, of course he knows Warren. Wadi knows everybody. He knows everything. You and the whole being good at football thing. He was great. Warren was excellent. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
It was like early February. I done an Ohio State basketball game with Robbie Hummel. I'm sitting at Eddie George's in the Columbus airport. And Robbie and the producer, Bart Fox, had left. So I'm sitting at the table alone. And in comes Norm MacDonald, and he's got a couple people with him, and they sit at the table right next to me, and we get to talking, and I'm starstruck because I think Norm's one of the funniest people ever, ever, ever. And he turns to me, he goes, "Hey, they still caning people in Singapore?" And I said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, I remember that kid Michael Fay?" And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, they caned him in Singapore." I go, "Yeah, I don't know." He goes, "Why?" I got a nephew who's a little weird who just moved to Singapore. You think they'll cane him?
Sorry I missed Jason Benetti yesterday on the show. You guys all know I love Jason, and that story on Norm MacDonald, absolutely incredible. Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. I've been consuming a lot of Norm content in the last day and a half. Read piece in the Washington Post, New York Times, The Ringer, lots of old videos and tributes and the whole thing. And that was a cool story. I wish I had a personal story with Norm MacDonald. Tanny, have you consumed anything recently on Norm that maybe you weren't aware of?
You know what?
I have an update on Warren Sapp, by the way, as well.
Oh, great. We're all waiting for it. So, yeah. Bated breath here. The clip we're about to play, like, this is what I'm most looking forward to. The stories, like, once people who are close to him are not done grieving, but once they kind of process it and these things happen, like, I'm waiting for more content, like what we're about to hear from Robert Smigel, stuff like this. But I've definitely watched a lot of the clips that I know and love. I was watching the clip of the early days of The View,
yes,
where he's upsetting Barbara Walters with his political commentary and things like that. So, I don't know if you listened to that clip I sent you from Dennis Miller's radio show.
Oh, but I did. Doing a ventriloquist bit on the radio. It was very bold, very Norm. And like Dennis Miller at times didn't really know what to do with it. He's like, Norm, you're actually crazy enough that you're probably sitting there with your puppet, even though we're on the radio. And he goes, of course I am, but I don't call him my puppet. I call him my friend. Like, it's just absolutely out of his mind. But yes, I did. I did listen to it. And yeah, play the Smigel clip, because this little hometown connection here.
Hi, Johnny. Celebrity Norm MacDonald here. This is a very meaningful cause, and I would like to make a very meaningful contribution beyond just appearing on the show. I would like to donate money from my own pocket. The problem is I don't have any money. But in lieu of a financial contribution, I would like to donate something much more valuable, and that is a tip. Tomorrow night, take the Bears against the Cardinals on Monday Night Football. Put all the money you raise tonight on the Bears, given the points. Now, I know what you're thinking. Norm, this is a crazy idea. It's nuts. Isn't college football the only safe sports bet? And that's very astute of you, John. However, this is Sunday, and between now and Saturday, there's no telling if a college athlete is going to flunk a test or be arrested for date rape. You know these kids nowadays, John. Next thing you know, they get kicked off the team, and the line goes up, and you got no bet. Now, here's why I like the Bears. The Cardinals are only 1-6 in Monday Night home games since 1977. I'm telling you, this is a sure thing. It's a mortal lock. It's like 90%, 60%. It's not a complete lock. I can't say that. I do have locks, but I don't want to give you that because, you know, then what's the fun of watching the game? There's no suspense. So, John, place that bet. Don't be an idiot. You know, like those people at the Katrina benefit. Last year, I give them the over on the Texas-USC game, right? And guess what they do? They don't bet on it. And who suffered? Who suffered? I'll tell you who suffered, John. Those poor Katrina victims. That's who suffered. So thanks for listening. Feels good. Feels good to help. God bless and go Bears.
That's Norm MacDonald. And that's the Denny Green game, right? That's got to be. That's what it is. Bears Cardinals Monday Night Football. Norm was on the Bears. Norm MacDonald saying God bless and go Bears. Glad to know Norm MacDonald made money that night.
God bless and go Bears.
Makes me very, very, very happy.
At 8 o'clock.
Norm MacDonald. Man, still can't believe he's gone. Still can't believe he went through that battle totally in private, too, after 9 years. That bit that he shared about how he says he hates with a phrase, you know, losing your battle with cancer at worst. You know, it's like, when you die, the cancer dies, too. It's a draw. It's very prophetic stuff. And saying that when he actually had been diagnosed with cancer, can't help but wonder if he was talking about himself. And I read Washington Post profile. He probably was, because that story from that special was about an Uncle Bert, and he didn't even have an Uncle Bert. So that was probably Norm's view of his own battle. And I also just wanted to say, you guys know I've been talking about my brother Brad, and he's been on the show, and we've helped raise some money for the Malnati Brain Tumor Institute and what he's going through with glioblastoma. He let me know about a guy named Matt Garcia, who... diehard Chicago sports fan, huge fan of the Score, and he's going through a cancer battle himself right now, and I know that, you know, chemo can be a real bitch and can knock you out, but you're going to keep getting back up, Matt, and we're thinking of you, and I know you're a great family man to Zoe and Luca, and that you listen to the Score basically every day, and I know that we help you get through some tough times, and I very much appreciate that, and I know you're a fan of the show, and hope to meet you soon. So, Matt Garcia, from all of us here at The Score, we are thinking of you, and we are pulling for you. I texted Warren Sapp. Here's what I... Should I say what I said? Should I say what I said to him?
Sure, man.
Okay. Warren! Exclamation point. It's Danny from the radio just now. That was a
Danny from the radio. Afternoons on the Score.
That was
radio.
A thrill for me to have you on the show. I'm glad you seem to like it too. If you ever are in Chicago, I'd love to buy you a drink. Be well, man. Hashtag Danny not fishing. It was a landline.
Oof. Danny not fishing.
Yeah. Some of the Twitch guys had a much better idea that you should have just texted him the MP3 of the open. That would have been the play.
Follow up text.
Well, I'm gonna put on the social and I'm gonna tag him on it.
Wait, there we go.
But Danny, like how could idea. You have a follow up text? It's not a cell phone.
Well, you think I haven't asked Dave Wanstead for Warren Sapp's cell phone number?
Oh, I know Warren.
Yeah, yeah. So don't worry. The dream of becoming text friends with Warren Sapp and smoking one of Gary Sheffield's cigars and playing golf on the Grove and drinking Patron in Chicago is not yet dead, Shane. We've merely been deterred by a landline. But that shows me that Warren Sapp is considerate because he called into a radio show from a landline to get a clean cell phone connection.
Or he just didn't want us having his cell phone, and now you've gone and gotten it.
Ah, but does Dave Wanstead have it? The mystery continues with Lonnie in studio next on The Score.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
Dave Wanstead.
Dave Wanstead has guided his Bears to the playoffs, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wanstead, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarm to the ball so incredibly. This speed-burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wanstead, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
Dion wants to be called Coach Prime, but you call people who are not coaches coach. So what are we doing here?
When I get introduced, people say, what would you like me to call you? Dave, and I know they're not going to probably remember. On a golf course or something, they're not going to remember. I said, just call me Coach. It's simpler.
Coach, are you kidding me?
Dave Wanstead.
You guys want to hear something funny? When I'm coaching, right, everyone's calling me a moron. Now I get a microphone in front of me, everyone calls me an expert.
With Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Dave Wanstead in our Hyundai Score studios, and I'll be damned. Actually came through. Instead of drinking our booze all the time, the Super Bowl champion and national championship coach actually ponied up a bottle of Bradshaw's bourbon, this time the rye.
Yes, Terry came through. You know, I told him we need a little, some goodies for the show. He's a fan of the show, and here it is. So,
all right, my
enjoy.
First sip of the rye. Thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We had a dinner last weekend before we kicked off our NFL show, and we had a little rivalry going. We had Terry Bradshaw's bourbon on one table, and we had Charles Woodson's bourbon on the other table. I haven't dipped into that yet, but I'm working.
What a name dropper you are.
Well, one show with Charles. Now I'm comfortable to say, send me some bourbon.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so he hasn't sent it to you yet.
No.
Oh, you got to make that happen.
We'll make that happen.
He's good.
Yes, we'll get him on the show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We got Bradshaw on the show.
Yeah. Well, oh, God, did we get Terry on the show.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah, Terry, he was incredible. He called me the next morning, and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting ready to work out. I said, what are you doing, Terry? He says, I'm in my office. I got my shades pulled, the blinds pulled. He says, I'm under fire down here from Packer fans.
Yeah, he said some things.
Well, he's just dumber than a box of rocks, isn't he?
That's what he said. About old Aaron Rodgers.
He never returned my text after that interview, Coach. I texted him thanking him for coming on, and don't worry, we're not going to push the quotes out there. He just never responded.
Yeah, he was into the bourbon by then.
Yeah, well, we'll get him back on at some point. Bears play the Steelers this year, right, in Pittsburgh?
They do. Monday night, Sunday night.
It's
a Monday night game.
Yeah, it's a night game.
It's a night game. I believe it's Monday night or Sunday night. Either way, I think.
Let's find that out.
It's a national TV game.
That's
the point.
7:15, so that would be a Monday night.
Monday night football in the Steel City.
Dave, right. Dave. I mean, maybe you have to get Bradshaw to call into the show that Monday.
We might. I actually kind of changed. It was all Cleveland and Baltimore, and then I wasn't sure about Cincinnati because of Burrow. And then Pittsburgh, TJ Watts, the contract thing. Other guys wanting more money. Washington's wanting traded. Ben, where's he at with his health? In my mind, there was a lot of questions. I didn't even talk about Pittsburgh. After this first weekend, they are seriously in the middle of that hunt for that division.
If they stay healthy, their defense will keep them in every game.
Yeah, Melvin Ingram, they brought him onto a one-year deal from the Chargers, right?
Yep.
And he made a big impact. And then they haven't even got Najee Harris, their running back, the first pick from Alabama. I think he had 60 or 70 yards, but I look for him to get better and better as the year goes on.
And they didn't have Stephon Tuitt either, their big defensive lineman.
Correct.
But with Hayward and Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick, I mean, they've got superstars at every level of that defense. And their defense is great.
And one point there, I've had players, we've seen them all over the league, we won't name them, that get the big money, they miss time in training camp, and get the big contract and do nothing, you know, or they go out there and they get hurt. I mean,
people are worried that's what's happening with Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, so there's T.J. Watt. You know, he gets the big contract, and he comes out the first day, and he's all over the field. He comes up with two sacks, you know, and leads the defense to a big victory. So, you know, that's the Steelers, I think, gave the money to the right guy there.
So are you going to help us get in touch with Warren Sapp? You don't have a cell.
I don't have Warren. No, the last time I don't know when the last time I saw Warren. God, well, I have a funny Warren Sapp story. Now, he's a guy from the U.
Yeah.
So obviously we're connected. We've got a bond. And Tony Dungy is the coach of Tampa Bay. I think it was Tony or was it Gruden. It was still Tony. And I was the coach of the Dolphins. So we would get together and work for 2 or 3 days against each other in Orlando. And, you know, it would bring in a lot of Bucs fans and a lot of Dolphins fans, kind of a middle of the state there. And it was good PR, and it was good work. So here we go. Our linemen are going down there, and we're going to go pass rush against the Tampa Bay Bucs. Warren Sapp and company. He's in his prime now, okay?
So this is what, late 90s?
Late 99, maybe, 2000.
Okay, yeah.
And I think it was 99. And so we get down there, and he's just jawing, and he's talking, you know, all over the place. And I said, come on, Warren. I said, what are you doing? You know, I kind of razz him a little bit. And he says to me, hey, coach. He says, Dave, coach Dave. He says, which one of these linemen do you want to cut today after practice? Just tell me, because that'll be the guy I go against. And just cocky and confident God, was he a great player, though? I mean,
I love that stuff, man. Like he calls people out in practice. He delivers. Yeah. Like he was a trash talker. He was a little bit of an S-ster.
Yeah,
but is that rare for that position? Because like you see it at corner, you see it at receiver. I don't know.
Is it rare? No. I think there's more of that at that position than you would think. But because he was such a good player, and because the team won a Super Bowl and on and on, that I think they were, and him being the leader of the defense, you know, he was in the spotlight. So him and Derek Brooks. So
you guys, because he was at the U obviously after you left.
After I left, yeah.
Yeah. But so.
But, you know, it's kind of one of those things. If you were at the U, you're a U guy. You know what I mean? One of those things. Every school's that way, though, so it's nothing different.
Well, but so, like, at a U event, like, have you come across The Rock?
No, I did some public service announcements. I'm trying to think when I was coaching the Dolphins, and he was just getting into wrestling, I believe, then.
Okay.
And so we did a couple hits together on some things, you know, for charity stuff and that in Miami. So, but
you didn't really bond over U or anything like
no,
that.
Huh? No, okay. But he was good with it. That was the first. I mean, like Alex Rodriguez, if I'm at the Fox studios, once they start doing the games for the playoffs in baseball, he walks in before he says a word. He puts up the hands and gives me the U sign, and here we go. You know,
well, because I was thinking about it when I was preparing to have Sapp on. So if he goes there in like what 94,
I think he was with Butch Davis. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
But so he was probably a fan of your teams.
Oh God, yes.
Right?
Oh no. He looked up to the Russell Marylands of the world,
okay,
and Cortez Kennedys. You know, I mean, the guys.
So was there a program that would be there for, like, do those guys come back and like teach the kids and like, you know, coach for a day, that type of thing?
I you know what, they do. They have something, I forget what it's called, because I saw something on one of the social media things where Michael Irvin and Ed Reed and some guys were back there for a day or two. They do have something. I think in the spring, Not sure when or how or what, or if Warren even attends. I don't have no idea.
Speaking of the social media things, congratulations on going viral. You see this? You see this guy? He's saying from Redline Radio. He said, "Oh, I'd go 12-4. I'd make the playoffs."
I never said 12.
No, you said you'd make the playoffs every year with Mitch Trubisky, David Montgomery, and the Bears defense. And here's what I will say to you, Dave. No bleep, Sherlock, because I don't understand why that's not that you're not interesting all the time. But that defense, that 2018 defense, they were number one in the NFL.
Well, yes, my point.
Led the league in turnover. Doesn't the number one defense goes to the playoffs every year in the NFL?
Yes, my point is there's enough talent on there, you know, that you combine that with a good running game.
Yeah.
And I always thought, now Mitch Trubisky is not Justin Fields. Don't get me wrong. Justin's faster and I think he's more accurate and he's got a stronger arm, but Mitch Trubisky, and I've been saying this for 3 years when I was here. I was probably the only one on the show that just kept saying, but you got to use this guy right. You got to use him right and to give him a chance. And I don't know Mitch, but everybody tells me coming out of House Hall is the intangibles are excellent from a work ethic standpoint and team standpoint and all that. So, I mean, I don't know. They asked me about it, and I just kind of – and I really like Matt Nagy. I mean, that's not the point. The point is that – you know, and you know what? And then after the Eagles win this week, the head coach walks up to the podium.
Nick Sirianni. Yeah.
And the first thing he says is, they said, wow, you know, Jalen Hurts, the guy performed great. He made throws on the run. He made throws out of the pocket, on and on and on. And he said, you know, I learned this a long time ago. I can't remember the exact quote he said, but, you know, when I came in here, I wanted to make sure that I developed my offense and my defense around the players so they could be successful.
You're not fitting the players into the scheme. Yeah. You're building the scheme around the players.
And I guess that was my point. And then when the Bears got, you know, I don't know. I mean, let's move on. But
no, it's not a big deal because here's the thing.
Yeah, I was just expressing, I think, which are facts. I don't see it being any real news headline story except that this is what it is. And sometimes people can't handle the truth. They don't want to hear it.
And the truth is,
Jack Nicholson.
That's true, right? A few good men.
Yes, yes.
We watch you on that wall.
Yes.
This 2021 Bears defense is not that 2018 Bears defense. I want to talk to you about the defense, where they go from here, and the experience of getting booed at home, which I think is coming very shortly. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Dave Wannstedt with Parkinson Spiegel.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
On 670 The Score.
Dave Wannstedt, thankfully, is available because he is doing something, which is coming on this radio show. He does it every Thursday. Normally, it's 4 o'clock for two segments, but he came in a little early to do the two segments because we're off at the end of this one for Cubs baseball. Top of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. You, by the way, the rye, tell Terry.
Mm-hmm.
I like the rye more than the
bourbon.
Yeah,
the normal bourbon.
Okay. Yeah, but both very good.
I'll pass it on.
Please pass it on. And then you tell Charles Woodson that I am totally willing to do a review of his bourbon.
Okay.
For free product, obviously. You said that you love the Bears.
I do. I really like the Bears this week, and I'll tell you why. I think, you know, that the conversation since the draft has been quarterback, and rightfully so. You know, Justin Fields, Andy Dalton, back and forth. Everybody's got an opinion. That's fine. Okay. The thing that everybody, including myself, assumed is that the defense is in good hands. We got a new defensive coordinator, yes, but he's studied under Vic Fangio and others, so he's got experience. We got talent, plenty of talent, so the defense is not going to be a problem. And I think now all of a sudden, walking around town after that tough loss, in the conversation that I'm hearing, it's as much about the defense as it is about the quarterback, maybe more so in some circles. And I believe that the defense is really going to respond this week. And you look at what happened last week, and I know Joe Burrow played good, and I know what happened. They won the game in overtime against the Vikings. The Vikings had 16 penalties. I mean, they were horrible. And Joe Burrow got sacked 5 times by the Vikings. And I know that the Vikings got talent. I'm not saying that, but I believe in the Bears' defense a lot more than the Vikings. And I just think that they're going to get after Joe Burrow, and they're going to make it a very tough day for him. I think they'll come up with some turnovers. And as long as we stay with the same, let's run the ball and get it going on offense, I like the Bears. I really do. You don't.
I don't. Here's why I don't, Dave.
Why?
The Bears' offense, I actually thought was better than most people thought Sunday night. I think the Rams' defense is awesome. The Rams' defense is designed to keep you in front of you and not give up the big play. So it was frustrating to watch, right? It was all dinks.
Daniels, I'll tell you, he did a great job blocking Aaron Donald.
Daniels was very impressive.
Aaron Donald was not much of a factor.
Well, and the Bears' offense moved the ball. They didn't convert, but they were forced to go for it on fourth down and not kick field goals because
that's a whole nother story. I got a whole different opinion of that stuff.
Okay, well, we'll get into it, but the defense, to me, the defense was so alarmingly bad. Brad Biggs had the stat, and I've quoted it all week because it just blew my mind. If you remove, like, Matt Stafford kneeling the ball at the end of the game, right? Because yards per play, I think, is a pretty good stat.
Right.
If you remove the kneel downs.
Right.
They gave up 8.5 yards per play.
Right.
Which is the worst defensive performance of a Bears defense in 20 years. So when you're they forced them to punt once. Forced one punt the whole game. So when your defense is just getting carved up, 50-yard pass, 70-yard pass, right? It leads your offense to be in a really, like, field goals were no good Sunday night against the Rams because the Rams were scoring whenever the hell they wanted. So I actually think the Bears' offense will be able to move the ball.
What did the Bears average? Now, I always used to think of this, that we had to average 5.5 yards per play, not run, not pass, per play.
Yeah.
And we were a balanced team. I always thought we had to be 5.5 yards per play minimum to say we had a good offensive production. That meant that we were running the ball with some success, and that meant that we were making our share of big plays. What did the Bears average per play?
4.7.
Thank you. That's terrible. That's losing, okay?
You're against the number one defense in the NFL.
Oh, come on. So how can that be a good performance?
I'm saying I've seen the Bears be way worse against worse defenses.
Yeah. I'm saying terrible
turnover.
They moved the ball, but they didn't make enough plays down the field.
Oh, they made no plays down the field.
You know what I mean? And so
and that's why it was frustrating. No big plays. They didn't take any shots. They didn't convert for six. I'm not saying it was good. I'm saying it was better than I thought it was going to be. And I think that they will have some success against Cincy. But Joe Mixon, Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, what did you see from the Bears defense that made it feel like, oh, that's just Matt Stafford and Sean McVay? It felt to me like they got some real problems that a lot of teams are going to be able to score, be able to score against the Bears.
Well, Stafford now have playing the Bears twice a year when he was at Detroit. He knew the pass rush. He's gotten hit in the mouth enough by Khalil Mack and company.
Sure.
So he was getting rid of the ball 2 seconds. I mean, it was coming out quick. It was going to be very difficult to get sacks. So the mental mistakes, I mean, that's the two big plays that are two things that just drive me crazy because they're inexcusable. And you take those plays on, I mean, that changes the whole momentum of the game. But I'm going to go the other side, okay? Let's ease into this going forward on fourth down stuff, okay?
Yeah.
You know, when you hire – I remember when I first became a head coach, and I was a little bit frustrated because I was standing back and I was letting the offensive coaches – basically run the show the whole way in without really interjecting a whole lot. Not calling plays, but just interjecting and saying, I don't like it, let's change it. Can we run it here? I don't care what run. Or can we throw it here? I don't care what pass. Okay. And I remember having a conversation with Jimmy Johnson, and he says, Dave, don't ever forget this. Offensive coordinators are hired for one reason. What's that? Score points.
Yep.
They'll go for it every time. They'll throw it every – defensive coaches are hired to stop people. They'll come up with crazy blitzes if they feel like the ball's being moved, they may call a blitz. Your job as a head coach is to say, what's going on with special teams? How's our kicking situation? How are we covering kicks? How are we punting? How are we kicking off? Whatever it might be. How's our defense? And you got to make decisions on offense on all these phases by what's best for the team. When you go for it on fourth down, if I'm coming out of the press box if I'm a defensive coordinator here, really, because I'm saying
they
to myself,
never stopped them.
I'm saying, what do you mean they never stopped them? The one time they punted, they got the ball inside the five, the Bears defense stopped them, and the offense got their only touchdown. So there, you're wrong. Well, right, sip your bourbon.
I did sip my bourbon. Okay. They stopped them one time.
After a punt, correct? Yes, I know I'm right.
Right. The Bears punted.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rams punted.
Yep.
And then the Bears scored a touchdown.
Okay.
And then the rest of the game.
Yeah.
The Rams had three possessions the rest of the game. Or excuse me, it was four. Touchdown, 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 kneel down.
And when you get too bold, in my own opinion, you can lose the energy of your defense because you don't have to say anything, but what message are you sending? Guys, we don't have confidence in you. I don't think you can stop them. And so now when they go out there, guess what they're thinking? Well, okay, coach doesn't think we can stop them. We probably won't stop them. So, I mean, it's just a bad mindset. I mean, as compared to punting the ball down in there and grabbing a defense and saying, hey, damn it, now we punt them down there. Hey, let's go out there and do our job and play some damn defense.
Well, in fairness, okay, so they –
it's a mindset. Half of this game is mental at this point.
You certainly know more than I do. I would just say this. So in the
you'd be a good offensive coach.
Oh, I know I would.
Yeah,
I'd be great at it. Yeah, but
Dave, whatever. Come on, we can't be complimenting him like that. Do you have any idea what we deal with?
Flip that right there. You'd be a good offensive coach
for somebody else, not for me.
Oh no, obviously
we dump him.
We would not get along in that way. We get along over some bourbon and some red wine and some Tofanos. But so they turned it over on downs three times. The Bears.
Okay.
Twice were in the second half when they were down 27-14 when they went for it on the 4th and 15.
Right.
And then when they were down 34-14 with a minute left. Like, obviously, you're down 20, you're not punting. So that one we can remember. The one in the first half, I'm guessing, is the one that you had the biggest issue with. It was because that's when it's mindset, right? Bears throw the interception, then the Rams score in three plays, then the Bears get the ball back against the Rams. They go seven plays, 35 yards. They're at the Rams' 41-yard line. It's fourth and four. And Matt Nagy goes for it, doesn't get it. What does Dave wants that do? Punt?
Heck yeah.
At the Rams' 41.
That early in the game, I probably punt.
And, okay.
I mean, what's the strength of our team?
It's not the defense.
What everybody said it was going into the game?
Yeah, but they're wrong.
But the
defense stinks.
Tell them we're going for it
given up a three-play 80-yard drive.
Yeah. I just see it differently. I get the guys over there. I know my players. I look them in the eye. Guys, this is the deal. We're going to do this. We're going to kick that ball down in there, and we got to go out there and we stop them. Everybody, I mean, you know, you got to massage this thing a little bit. You got to get these guys going.
Well, I know it's a few.
You got to get some energy going, and putting their backs against the wall a little bit can create that if it's handled the right way.
But, okay, so two things. If you're punted from the 41-yard line at 4th and 4, down 7-0 in the first quarter, obviously many coaches would do it. You would do it. You were an NFL head coach, defensive guy.
If I was at home, I'd go for it. On the road, I'd probably punt the ball.
Okay.
So I would play that into it with the crowd.
Okay, reasonable.
Fourth and one on the goal line going in, if I'm at home, I'm always going for it. That was, I told my coaches, get ready, get a play. If we're
give
on the
ball to Ricky Williams.
Give the ball to Ricky Williams. If we're on the road and we get down in there, I'm kicking the field goal.
Okay. Well, because if you punt though from the 41 and you get a touchback, you've gained 21 yards of field position. Right.
I'm counting on not getting a touchback.
Hopefully you don't. So you're talking about the message it sends to the defense by punting it and trusting them and you're going to get the ball back. What about the offense? hey, fourth and four.
It is what it is.
I believe that you guys can pick up 4 yards for me, and I want to send the message that I believe in my offense's ability to go get these 4 yards. Because hey, Matt Nagy's an offensive coach. You were a defensive coach. Is it possible?
You sound like a discussion I've been in with my assistant coaches. You know what I would say? Whoever's got the chalk last is going to win this argument. So I'm going to go get a cup of coffee, and somebody call me when it's time to go to practice because I'm done with it.
Okay. Well,
I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. Who's ever got the chalk last wins?
Well, and he's an offensive coach, and so he has the chalk last, and so he went for it. Let's talk about the defense then. Forget any situation in the Rams game. That was a while ago. They're playing the Bengals. What do you think they're going to – that defense that we saw.
Right.
What do you think they're holding that Bengals offense? Bengals offense just scored, 27 against the Vikings?
Yeah, I think the Bears hold them definitely under 17.
Under 17?
Yep, okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bottle of red?
Absolutely, yeah. I'll take a bottle of red on that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The secondary terrifies me, Dave.
But
they don't have any corners. They have no corner. I like Jaylon Johnson.
Okay, so they got to work with one guy. Okay, so they can do things to take away and match up their receivers and have a plan for that.
Okay.
I mean, come on. You got a lot of good talent. Roquan Smith. You got Khalil Mack. You got Akeem Hicks. You got some of the best players, in my opinion, in the NFL.
I hope. So you think that defensive performance was an aberration and the defense will be fine?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. I think they will be better than they were in that game because Sean McVay and Matt Stafford at home, Cooper Kupp, that's a very good team. They are a contender in the NFC as far as I'm concerned.
And Matthew Stafford is – I think he's proven now that talent-wise, experience-wise, he could be one of the top 5-6 quarterbacks in the NFL. At Detroit – it was very difficult on him. But we've seen him play at Detroit and get guys, hit guys. I mean, it was crazy.
Listen, I think Stafford's awesome.
Right?
I've always thought he was
awesome.
And
did you see the long touchdown pass? I mean, they were in quarters coverage. I mean, yeah, we should have stayed on Kupp down the seam. But it was all Matthew Stafford set that whole thing up. I mean, he looked that guy down and turned his shoulder like he was going to throw the deep one to the left. And everybody started moving. And then Kupp turns up the field and he hits him over the top. I mean, it was a great design play. But it was Matthew Stafford, not just the throw, but how he set it up.
So what do you do if you're Sean Desai and you put that film in against the Rams and you see blown coverage, a guy named Van Jefferson was carving him. It wasn't just Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. I mean, these are not exactly high-profile guys. Like all the, I mean, there were, six different guys on the Rams who had a catch of at least 18 yards. Were tearing them up.
At this point, You can't afford to lose the defense. And good coaches lose games, but they don't lose the team, okay?
Okay.
So if I'm the defensive coordinator right now after that performance, I am trying to pull this thing together and keep it together to the best of my ability. So I'm going to show this team to the entire group. This is not going to be one of those meetings where – defensive line in one room, linebackers in another, and secondary. We're going to watch this together, and I am going to point out everything and try to, and Matt Nagy did say, there's some teaching things in it. It's saying teaching things. I mean, it's like, a student in school, something that that the kid knows and he busted. He doesn't answer the question right, and you say, well, that's okay. We're going to give you we're going to use it as
a teaching moment.
You know that. You know that. I mean, the kid just wasn't paying attention or whatever. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to be positive, but I am going to point out every damn mistake, and I am going to make sure that the guys are accountable in front of their peers. The two things that motivate players, I believe, professional sports, money and peer pressure. That's the two things. So there's nothing tougher on NFL players than to sit in that room and have everybody see those plays. I guarantee you that bothers them.
So on the subject of...
If it doesn't, it's real scary.
On the subject of peer pressure.
Yep.
What's it like to be booed at home?
Oh, you know what? You don't like it, but does it have any real effect
I don't believe it does. I mean, every time I would go for it or not go for it, people were booing. You hear it, you don't like it, but I don't think it affects what the guys are doing out there in the heat of battle. I really don't,
The only reason I bring it up is because in the preseason,
right,
Justin Fields said, I don't think it's right for Bears fans to chant my name when Andy's out there playing.
I really liked the kid even more so when
I thought it was super poised. I thought it was great.
Yep.
I got news for him, though. It's not going to work. Like, the second that the Bears get down 7-0, 10-0, or Andy Dalton throws a pick.
They won't, but if they would against Cincinnati, yes, deservingly so. Right. Absolutely.
I hear
what you're saying.
So if you're right and the defense comes out and holds the Bengals to under 17 points and the Bears offense, and they win this game 30-17, obviously there won't be boos because those people there are going to root for the Bears before anything else. But if I'm right and this game's a nail biter, or the Bengals D line, they hit Kirk Cousins 7 times.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's a real team. And I think Joe Burrow's going to be an absolute star.
Yeah, so do I. I'm a fan. I'm with you on that, but I.
So I'm just saying, like, it has the potential to get pretty uncomfortable at Soldier Field on Sunday if the Bengals get out hot or Dalton makes an early mistake.
Absolutely.
Justin Fields chants some boos. Do you think that that's more? If it's going to affect anyone, I wouldn't think it affects Andy Dalton, 11-year veteran, but Nagy, Dalton, anybody? They said they didn't play a lot with a lot of energy. Like, who does that affect?
Yeah, no, you can't play great defense without energy. So, I mean, if that's true, if that's the case, then we got real problems. I mean, and we're going to know in the first quarter. I always believe how they come out, a team comes out of the gate is an indication of how they prepared and where their mindset's at.
I think it's going to be a fascinating game. I think it's going to be close. I think it is going to be a
close
game.
Not me.
You got Bears in a blowout.
I got not in a blowout, but I got them between 7 and 10 points.
All right. And so bottle of red.
Yeah.
What's your price point? What do you want to do?
Oh.
I don't know, I'm just saying, we're going to you brought in a bottle of bourbon.
Easy. Bottle of Justin. You know, it's going to be $30.
All right.
$25 or something.
$30 bottle of red. My choice if I lose. Yeah. Your choice if you lose.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. I'll bring you something I like. You bring me something you like. Okay. Next Thursday.
Perfect.
All right. This was fun. Thank you. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for the wine.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see.
You can't handle the truth.
I know.
Come on, Shane. Give me the quote there. We got it on file somewhere.
I don't run the board. Tanny runs the board. He gives you the audio.
What are you doing,
Tanny? Thank you to Paul Charchi and Warren Sapp and Dave Wanstead. Connor O'Donnell, Shane Reardon.
You can't handle the truth.
Chris Tannehill.
I love it. Thanks, Tanny. Have some bourbon.
I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. Cubs baseball next. This is The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.